You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It is a jam-packed week of games. We'll get all the insight on them in just 10 minutes. Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in just a bit to talk about them all. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. My friends, let's not waste any time. Let's get into the Week 3 games we love. And let's start up in Buffalo. You know, the Bills really put together a statement this past week of showing that what happened in Week 1 was an aberration. And they went to Miami and absolutely tore apart the Miami Dolphins. Now, let's be fair about one thing, though. It's not like Josh Allen has been amazing through 2 weeks. He really hasn't. I kind of expect that to change this week because I think there's been a popular misconception, and I think at times I've been guilty of it too, that Washington has a great defense or that Washington just has a great defensive front. That's what they have. They have 4 first-round picks on their defensive line. And they're an outstanding group. But look beyond that. And maybe it's not nearly as good as we anticipated it being. I think this game in Buffalo is going to show that the Bills are back on track after a Week 1 stumble. And Washington, without a true answer at quarterback, even with as well as Taylor Heinicke played last week, against a good defense like Buffalo, is going to be in some real trouble. And the name to watch here is Gregory Rousseau from Miami, who the Bills drafted, another pass rusher that they drafted, 2 sacks this past week, and he has a chance to be something special, and he was overlooked quite a bit by people because he opted out of last season and did not play, really had not played since 2019, and truly had only had 1 year on the field because he had redshirted prior to that. Chargers, Chiefs in Kansas City. I'm excited. You know, if you've been listening, that I am all over the Chargers as a really good team this year. I am surprised that they ended up losing the game this past week to the Cowboys, but it probably says that the Cowboys are a really good team too. The Chargers going to Kansas City, I just want you to take in this thought for a moment and consider it. If the Chargers play their game and play as well as they're capable of, the Chiefs could be 1-2 Sunday afternoon late. That's possible. It truly is. I understand that the Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites in the game, but don't underestimate what the Chargers can do because they've got excellent weapons on offense and they've got a defense that has improved, and Derwin James is playing reasonably well so far. I like where the Chargers are going into this game. They will at least cover. I don't think they'll win outright. Saints, Patriots. Jameis Winston against Bill Belichick. All right. So who is it? Which one is it, Jameis? Is it Week 1, Jameis? Is it Week 2, Jameis? Or is it going to be a roller coaster ride all season? I think that's where your truth lies here. Consider this for a moment. If the Patriots were to lose to the Saints, they're headed for 1-3. They're not beating Brady and the Buccaneers next week. It's not happening in Foxborough. The New England Patriots, before you blink an eye, through the first quarter of the season, are going to be 1-3. Wow. They will really show themselves to be pretenders in the AFC East. And there's not going to be anybody at this point that's within a game or two of the Dolphins later this year. Buccaneers and the Rams. What's not to love? What's not to love? I've told you about the Rams. God, I should just move to L.A. this year with my love for the Chargers and the Rams, because I truly believe that Matthew Stafford is going to end up being the MVP of the league. And that was the move of the offseason and perhaps the move of the last 3 to 4 years outside of Brady signing with Tampa Bay. It's a really good situation right now for the Rams, who, yes, they didn't look amazing against the Colts last week, but they found a way. They found a way. The Buccaneers are going out there. SoFi Stadium. Raj, in your first visit to SoFi, keeping in mind that it was a home game for the Cowboys, did that home factor for the Cowboys, with all the Cowboys fans there, seem to you to make it to be a difficult place to play if you actually had a home field advantage? Like, in general, if you're the Rams, would you have a home field advantage here?
The Rams, I think, will. I don't know how the Buck fans travel, but I haven't seen them travel like that. I've never seen them on the West, but I think the Rams will have a home field advantage.
I'm not worried about whether or not the Bucks are going to travel. I just want to know what the Ram fans are going to be like Rams in that particular building with the, the audio.
And remember, the Rams have had decades of a head start on Chargers in terms of being in L.A. before they left for St. Louis. So, yes, Ram fans will show up. It will be loud. There will be a Rams home field advantage.
Okay, and that's going to mean nothing because the Buccaneers are going to end up winning. Because, look, I do love the Rams overall, but the Bucs are going to go on the road and win this football game. Although Brady, as I said earlier with the Alex Guerrero comments, he's got next week on his mind already. Green Bay visiting San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers, notoriously awful in Green Bay. He has been terrible in his career there. Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan this week spoke about facing Aaron Rodgers.
When I first came out in the draft, I was studying pretty hard. He's one of my favorites just to watch and to go against. You know, just whenever you can sneak a peek and just see what he's doing, dude's unbelievable and can do some things with the ball that not many can.
I mean, you can't give him the freebies. You can't give him some easy completions. You got to always watch the big plays. You'd love to keep him in the pocket, but even at his age, he's still got the skill set to get out of there. And just with the flick of the wrist, he can cover about the whole field. So, you try your hardest to do it. He's been making people look bad for a long time. But, yeah, if you let him get comfortable at all, I think everyone knows what that result is.
Green Bay going into San Francisco this week. I don't expect Rodgers to play poorly again. The Packers will come close. They will not win this game because the 49ers are better than everybody is giving them credit for. They are a good football team with a good defense. Believe in the 49ers. And then finally, Monday night, Philly in Dallas. So what is it with the Cowboys? Are they truly a good team that should have won the first week against the Bucs in the opener and should be 2-0, and now they're hosting an inferior team? Or are they going to let them hang around and be in the game? If the Cowboys are letting them hang around, it tells you they don't have that killer instinct. I expect that will be a close game. They may win it, but I think they're going to let Philly remain in that game on Monday night when maybe they shouldn't. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. That's where we're headed right now. My pleasure to welcome in ESPN NFL analyst, Monday Night Football analyst. It is Lewis Riddick joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Lewis, it's Chris Carlin. We appreciate a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Since that's your game this week, Lewis, what are the Dallas Cowboys? Are they a really good football team that should be 2-0, or have they not reached that level yet in your mind?
No, I don't think they've reached that level yet. And I understand that with Dallas, there's always an elevated level of expectations with them and an elevated level of hope. And anything that they do good gets blown way out of proportion, and anything they do bad, they get crushed for. And I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I mean, yeah, you could say they should have won the Tampa Bay game, I guess you could say, but then again, they shouldn't because the defense wasn't good enough. I guess you could also say they should have lost the L.A. Chargers game because there were two touchdowns that were called back on the Chargers. So, I mean, you could spin it however you want. I do think that they are much, much better than they were a year ago, primarily because they're healthier on the offensive side and they have all their weapons. And you see just how explosive this team can be as far as putting points up on the board. And defensively, you see that Dan Quinn has made a huge difference. Their infusion of talent on that side of the ball with the draft class has made a big difference. And they will continue to get better on that side. This is a big game for them on Monday night because they're going up against a Philadelphia team that I think is much better than people think they are based off of how things have gone for them in the recent past. But I think that this is going to be a little bit of a, I shouldn't say a coming out party, but I think it's going to open people's eyes how strong I think this Philadelphia team is. It's going to catch some people by surprise.
I'll get to that in a second. What's your evaluation so far of Zeke Elliott?
Look, I think, you know, the contrast in styles between him and Tony Pollard are obvious to everyone. I think it has kind of exacerbated and accelerated the conversation that, hey, Zeke is definitely on the downside and they're regretting this contract and he's not the runner that he once was. But, I mean, it's not like Zeke ever looked like Pollard in terms of body style and movement qualities in the first place. He wasn't that quick twitch of a guy. He was, and that's not to say he's a slow twitch guy. So I think he is still someone who is an easy, easy 11K, 12K runner in the NFL, who's a hell of a blocker in pass protection and a very good receiver out of the backfield. I just think because Tony moves with a different body twitch to him, a bit different level of explosiveness, that people are saying that automatically means that Zeke is not the guy he once was. I don't think that's the case at all. I think he'll get his this year in terms of touches and yards, and it's just better for them that they have two guys. There's no doubt about that. It makes their offense that much more explosive.
ESPN NFL analyst Monday Night Football's Lewis Riddick joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. One more on that Monday night game before we get to a couple of games on Sunday. Lewis, is Jalen Hurts the long-term answer at quarterback for the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, in a time where we want answers, you know, based off of every throw, every drive, every game, I think it's going to take longer than that to figure out whether or not he is the guy for Nick Sirianni. And I think based off of how he looked at moments in time in 2020, how he looked for the large majority of the game against Atlanta week one, and now he looks again in moments in time against San Francisco in week two, I think you could say it's trending that way. I think you can't rule it out. And I think he has looked much better this year and looked much more comfortable this year. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that this offensive line is better and it's been healthy. The running game has looked strong. The weaponry on the perimeter has looked much better. You know, Devontae Smith, along with Jalen Reagor, makes them a team that can really attack you, and along with Quez Watkins, a team that can really attack you at all three levels of the field. And that's what you need in order to really evaluate a quarterback, any quarterback, and in particular, any young quarterback. So he's trending the right way. I'm anxious to see how he looks on this, you know, under the bright lights against a team like Dallas that everyone right now is jumping on their bandwagon. I'm anxious to see how he accepts that challenge and how he responds to it.
Lewis, we've had a couple of quarterbacks, young guys that have started already the first couple of games, Zach Wilson and, of course, you know, Trevor Lawrence, and we're about to see Justin Fields. When you're this early and you're trying to evaluate a player at that position, just this young in their career, what are the things that you're looking for in the first couple of games that tell you that you're seeing the things that you need to see?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you want the operation to be clean. So meaning you want the communication at the line, getting in and out of the huddle, communication at the line, no delay of game penalties, no miscommunications with the coaching staff and or the players getting them lined up. You want to see quarterbacks play a relatively clean game as far as what reads he's supposed to make, how quickly he's supposed to get the ball out of his hand. And then when he has clean pockets, is he able to put the ball on his receivers accurately? Now, there's going to be moments where on the other side of the ball where guys are highly paid too, that they're just going to make a better play than either he can make or the guy he's throwing the ball to can make. And there's going to be, you know, inevitable mistakes and maybe some interceptions, maybe some turnovers that you have to keep in the proper context and just keep in mind that hopefully it's trending in the right direction. So I think those are the kind of things from the outside that you really want to see when you're watching these young guys. And that's what I hope, you know, Justin Fields shows us, that he can get in and out of the huddle. The operation is smooth. They can operate at a good tempo. He's getting the ball out of his hands quick. He's putting it on people accurately. And then, you know, you also want to see that whatever it is that makes that guy special from a makeup standpoint, whether it be his speed, his strength, his arm strength, you know, his decision-making, whatever it is that really makes him special, that one special trait, that it actually comes through. And I think, although there's a bunch of things with Justin that make him special, I do want to see him not try to prove to everyone that I can stand here in the pocket and beat you up from the pocket and dice you up from the pocket. I want to see him get out of there. I want to see him make throws on the run. I want to see him make big runs. I want to see him do what he has just been blessed to do, you know, from an athletic standpoint. And then wherever it leads from there, as far as a win, it leads from there. And I don't, you know, I believe that Chicago's outmatched in this game. I think the Browns should win this game, but hopefully we'll see that with him in particular.
Louis Riddick, Monday Night Football analyst, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, through 2 weeks, who has surprised you in a positive way, whether it be a team or a player? Who has disappointed you, whether it be a team or a player?
Oh, man. I think the team that surprised me and the player that it surprised me, so they're both on the same team. I think Carolina, in terms of how the pace that they play with, the intensity that they play with, the efficiency that they have been playing with, has surprised me a little bit. And I don't know why it has, only because I do believe in Matt Rhule. I believe in his message. I got a chance to be around him down at the Senior Bowl just this past year and see how he relates to players, how he coaches players, how he coaches them as people, and how he coaches the X's and O's. And I think that is something that obviously is translating very well with his football team. So I'm a little bit surprised, though, that just, you know, how they beat up on New Orleans last week, although New Orleans was facing some circumstances that you could maybe give them a pass for, maybe not. We'll see. And I think with Sam Darnold, I don't want to say I'm really surprised, but it's nice to see just how much my belief in the fact that your surroundings really can affect positively or negatively ultimately what your production is, whether it be in football or any other sport or any other walk of life. It's nice to see that actually is playing itself out in Carolina, and that this man looks much more comfortable. It looks like someone who trusts the people that are coaching him. It looks like the coaches are trusting him. And I think tonight on a national stage against a team that right now is outmanned in terms of the Houston Texans, I hope he takes it to the next level and really puts a stamp on that early season, you know, opinion that people have of him, that he's back and that he's been resurrected and that he's a guy who now will be able to take his career to the levels that we thought he could take it when he was with the Jets. Now, you know, from a disappointing team, that's interesting. I think there I'm a little bit disappointed right now in terms of Washington and how their defense hasn't just dominated and just absolutely suffocated teams so far, you know, in the regular season. I think, yeah,
Louis, I asked this question last hour, just to get your take on it. I mean, does Washington have a great defense, or do they just have a great defensive front?
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, that's a good question. And I think they have players at all three levels, all right? They have tremendous athletes and good football players on the defensive line. Their linebacking core should be improving, especially with the addition of Damon Davis from Kentucky. The secondary has some good individual players in it. Look, William Jackson is a good player at corner, a very good man-to-man coverage defender. And Landon Collins is someone who is not a great safety, but a good safety and a good communicator who understands what the overall picture is supposed to look like back there. So I think, and Jack Del Rio is a very good defensive coordinator, and obviously that's Ron's background. So I think they have good players. They have a very good front, and I think they can be a very, very good defense. So I'm shocked that they come out of the gates a little slow, especially the defensive line, because those guys were not able to dominate the LA Chargers week one. They weren't able to dominate the way that they thought they should have dominated the New York Giants week two. they need to pick it up, because otherwise it's going to throw my whole idea of what this team could potentially do in 2021 out the window. It's just going to throw it out the window for me if they don't pick it up.
As usual, awesome insight, Lewis. Appreciate the time so much. Thanks again.
You bet. Thank you.
Lewis Riddick, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst, with us on the Goodyear Hotline, making plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Can the Rams beat the Buccaneers? Can the San Francisco 49ers handle Aaron Rodgers yet again? Can the Chiefs actually fall to 1-2 on the year? What about the Colts? Is this it for the Colts season? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Up next, your calls, plus, oh, there's college football this weekend. And there's a biggie in Chicago. Oh, that's a good one. Notre Dame and Wisconsin, it's the Jack Cohn Bowl. Or is it? We'll tell you about that in moments. According to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet the pent-up demand for all of these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles so fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and your NFL games that you're looking forward to the most in just moments, plus why the Colts are really in big, big trouble for their season. It's all on the way. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio.
From the NFL.
I can't put the Colts in the Super Bowl in the same sentence until I see who Carson Wentz is.
To college.
It'll be interesting to see what Oregon brings. I know their second.
Football lives here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
Bruce Springsteen's birthday today. He is 72 years old. You see a picture of him, he looks like he's maybe 54, 55. Dude's amazing. And, of course, I'm from Jersey, so, like, it's part of growing up that it's in our blood that you have to love him. It's been all Bruce today. Not by request. That's purely Bubba, because it is the boss's 72nd birthday today. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus. Excuse me. You know, the thing that I think is really interesting in Chicago tomorrow is Notre Dame and Wisconsin in Chicago at Soldier Field. And under normal circumstances, you'd never see a team want to schedule Notre Dame at a neutral site. Notre Dame will try to schedule every single road game they can at a neutral site, because they know if they just play it anywhere but on campus, it'll be a Notre Dame home game. They constantly try to do that and entice with money. But in a case like this, Wisconsin is going to travel big. And this is the Jack Cohn Bowl. And yes, Jack Cohn is the Notre Dame quarterback who transferred this past offseason from Wisconsin. A lot of folks at Wisconsin were disappointed that he left, and now they are struggling with Graham Mertz a little bit. They lost to Penn State week one, and Notre Dame, of course, is off to a 3-0 start. That is going to be a really, really good matchup in Chicago. And just playing Notre Dame in Chicago would be dangerous enough. But Wisconsin, I am very confident the Badger fans will make the trip without much of a problem at all. Couple of other great games this weekend. Number 7 A&M at number 16 Arkansas. What a great job Sam Pittman has done at Arkansas just to get them out to a 3-0 start. They've beaten Texas already, and they beat them up pretty good. I know Jen Latta has got a great feature with Sam Pittman on game day tomorrow, so you're going to want to check that out. But A&M, that defense, is off the charts good. It is at a ridiculous level. And this is going to be all about what KJ Jefferson does and if he can run tough against that A&M defense and make a difference. At the quarterback spot, that's what you're going to have to do this week. Couple of others real quick. Tennessee-Florida rivalry game. You can hear that game here on ESPN Radio. And what is very interesting is that Tennessee, with Josh Heupel now as their head coach who came from Central Florida, it's not up-tempo, it's super tempo. It is get to the line, go. Get to the line, go. Problem is, they've got two quarterbacks, so I don't know if they have one. Joe Milton transferred from Michigan. Not great so far. Also got banged up in the Pittsburgh game. They lost to Pittsburgh 41-34. So Tennessee is not all the way back yet, but it is a rivalry game. And then you've got West Virginia and Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma, I don't know what to make of what happened last week against Nebraska. I know it's Nebraska-Oklahoma. That game should not be within three touchdowns. And yet somehow it was a close game. Oklahoma's got to take a little look in the mirror this week before facing the Mountaineers. 888-SAY-ESPN. Andre in Massachusetts on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Dre, what's up, baby?
What's going on? Thanks for taking my call. Listen, the game that I'm keying in on this week is the Saints and the Patriots, because you are 100% right. This split between Belichick and Brady, it's become polarized. I don't think there's any gray area. And if the Patriots do lose to the Saints, well, we know what's going to happen when the Buccaneers come to town. They're most likely not going to lose that game. And to me, the scales are looking more and more in favor of Tom Brady. He has his people out there, you know, saying things, putting subliminals out about Belichick and how when he didn't evolve. Tom is doing it his way in Tampa Bay, and he's having overwhelming success.
And he's been, listen, for Brady to do this too, make no mistake, and thanks for the call, he 100% knew everything that Alex Guerrero was going to say. This was absolutely on purpose, because it's not only setting up for next week and really building up more drama into next week, but it's also kind of flying right in the face of what Belichick was always about, and that's no locker room material, never say anything interesting leading up to games. And already, a week and a half out, Brady is providing that through Alex Guerrero and probably coincidentally through his father as well. Michael in Virginia next on ESPN Radio. Michael, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
My take is, I'm good. You were talking about the young quarterbacks, you know, like from the Jets, and you got Fields and Trevor Lawrence. Well, these people, their fan base, coaches, are dependent on these young kids, 22 and 21 years old, to carry these teams. Well, it's time for the defense to step up so they don't have to put a burden on their back like that. These defenses are bums. They got to step up and help these kids.
Listen, the Jets' defense has not been very good. The secondary has played better than you would have expected. It hasn't been awful, but it's not good enough to carry you. And for the Jets, you look at this past week, that's about four turnovers from a young quarterback. No defense is going to save a team from four turnovers. That's just not going to happen. Their defense is decent, but it's not nearly good enough to step up and carry them through those kind of mistakes. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract, all on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Up next, Alex Guerrero speaks out on behalf of Tom Brady. At least it appears that way. So what impact does that have not only next week when the Buccaneers go to New England, but this week as it comes out a full week and a half in advance? Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Whether on your radio
on your phone or your smart speaker.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
You don't know if it's the right pick just yet. You don't know if Trevor Lawrence is the right pick at number one overall.
Wake up with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
Guerrero, a week and a half in advance of the Bucs and the Patriots, saying some things regarding Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. First, it was Tom Brady Sr. earlier this week on the podcast of Tom Curran up in Boston. Take a listen to what Tom Brady Sr. had to say when Tom was asking him about how maybe he feels right now after Tom has won a Super Bowl somewhere else. This is Tom Sr.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right.
Interesting, right? Alex Guerrero came out, Tom's buddy, and of course the partner in all the TB12 stuff, and basically poured a little cold water on what Tom's father had to say and said, when you're in your mid-40s, how often are you calling your dad to talk about your work? Which, I mean, that's kind of a little shot to take at the father in that instance. I don't know if Guerrero needed to do that, but he was also saying that if you're a father, you're going to feel emotional about your kids. But he also came out and said this in advance of the game next week regarding Bill Belichick and his relationship with Tom Brady. And I'm quoting directly here. The interesting thing I think here, and this is just me, an outsider looking in, it was like Bill never really, I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. I think in time with Tom, as Tom got into his late 30s and 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like the 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared if he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. Mike Reese, ESPN NFL Nation Patriots reporter, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning and was asked, did the Patriots misjudge the Brady situation?
I think you could make the case they did. At the same time, just being around here, I do believe there was a thought that it had just run its course, that it was more about 20 years together is a long time, and maybe a fresh start is good for both sides. And I think it was more that than misjudging where he was physically, mentally, or where the end of the road was for him. That's the sense I get when I talk to people around that situation. Just the idea that, hey, we've taken this as far as we can take it. It's time for a fresh start.
Well, on the Brady side, the fact that Guerrero came out and said this now, when the Bucs don't go to New England until next week, the rhetoric, so to speak, is being dialed up early. Tom taking a page out of Aaron Rodgers' playbook, having everyone else do his talking for him, as Rodgers did this offseason with all of his former teammates speaking up and saying what they think Aaron was going to say or Aaron was going to want. Now, Guerrero, in this spot, you know, there is absolutely no way that he would have come out and spoken had it not been with Brady's blessing, and I would say with Brady's encouragement, because Tom is at a point now where he doesn't care. He doesn't care, and he was never allowed to really say what he wanted to say for many years under Belichick, and he respected the way the Patriots did things, but while he's not personally going to say something, there's nothing wrong with getting that thought out there as far as he's concerned right now. The timing of this, there is no way that Brady was not only aware of this, but somewhat behind it as well. What really is very interesting to me is the fact that this came out the week before. Is Tom's, I don't want to say, is he going to be overlooking the Saints game this week? I doubt that. But looking toward next week already and having his guy start to build up the rhetoric already for the big comeback to Foxborough next Sunday night? Boy, that's very unlike Brady, even if he wasn't with Belichick. This is going to be an awesome story over the next week and a half. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio.